Why is it so easy to love our families, yet so hard to like them?
Well, that is one of those questions that makes life so rich, and psychiatrists richer.
And think about that in your own family. Why is it so easy to just sit at times in your life just to focus on your family and say, oh, I love mom, I love dad, I love my sister, I love my brother. And then you're in close quarters with them. You're on a vacation together, or you're visiting and living under the same roof with them. And yeah, it's very hard to love them and it's hard to like them because What happens? You're just frustrated with them, or all of the old patterns come back, and you just feel like, what did I ever see in this person? You're just really frustrated. And that just brings out the point that people have many layers to them. And it's important to realize that sometimes you respond to something wonderful in your mom or your dad or your sister or brother, and you just feel on top of the world. You feel like there's a wonderful bond there. And sometimes that's not the case. You respond to aspects of their character that you don't like or that don't mesh with yours. And then you feel like they're enemy number one. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. You can call me now toll free 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll free 1-877-DR-KENNER. I'm a clinical psychologist and I'm here to take your calls on any problems that you're having with your kids, with yourself, with in-laws, you name it. And right now let's turn to the phones and welcome Linda. Linda, you have an 8-year-old nephew who's having some tantrums?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
I'm just going to use today, for instance. He had a friend over, and he was playing in the living room, and my husband asked him to move out of the room, and he came out into the kitchen area, and he was really loud, so I asked him to take it outside, and he gets up, and he runs to the other room, and he starts crying, and so I go and I have a talk with him, and I try to calm him down, and then he gets really angry, and he gets in his mother's face, like, almost like a little man.
Yeah, and says what? What words?
He didn't say any bad words, but he tells her to be quiet. He tells her, he calls her fat. He's really hurting her feelings. And I took him outside, and I had sat down and had a little talk with him, and he apologized. He started crying and apologizing to me. But when I ask him to apologize to his mom, he just says, okay, I'm sorry, really rude.
Okay, that's called a cheap apology.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I'm just saying. So I don't know what to do. I'm trying to help her because she's got her. He spends a lot of time with me.
Yeah.
Because he's in the school district that we have him in is really good.
Yeah.
And she just wrote her. She's bipolar. She has her own issues, but she's trying really hard. And she's blaming herself for this. And I just want to try and help her and to help him.
Okay, so he's 8 years old. He's already, as you said, acting like a little man at times.
Mm-hmm.
And the words that are coming out of his mouth, I wonder where they're coming from. Is she married? Is his mom married?
No, his father is in prison.
Oh, tell me about that.
He's a drug person. He's got, I guess, 2 strikes against him now, and We moved from San Diego up to the Visalia area,
yeah.
And he got out, and he was real good with him for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he quit coming around again, and he got put back in prison, and then his grandmother on his father's side took him to visit him a few times, but he hasn't seen him since, I think, January or February. And I don't like the dad,
yeah.
But I don't accept calls from him when he calls.
Okay.
Because when we do get calls, then he acts up.
So this little 8-year-old, he's only 8 years old, has had what type of an experience growing up in childhood?
Yes.
Really rough time.
I have to say he is an honor student at school.
That's to his credit.
Yes.
And there is probably a lot bottled up, and he has no one to talk to about it, I'm assuming, unless he chats with you about what's it been like to live with mom who's bipolar, what have you observed, how do you feel about the fact that dad's in prison, and, you know, what do kids say to you? Do they, you know, drawing him out, does he have anybody to share that inner world with?
He does talk to me sometimes, but he doesn't. He has my mother is up here. He has my grandmother. I mean, his grandmother. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And she actually one day he did call his mother a bitch. and Grandma had a talk with him. She didn't do it that day. She waited a few days, and he did talk to her calmly about it, and he understood that he's not to do that. But my sister's so distraught, and he's with me, I would say, 85% of the time.
So he might have some abandonment issues from Mom?
Pardon me?
Do you think that if he's with you 85% of the time, you are his functional mom?
Yes, I am. I have to say, he's with me, but she is here also.
Oh, she lives there,
she
too.
She doesn't live with me, but she has her own home, but she comes over like 4 days out of the week because she's going to classes and stuff to try to take care of her bipolarism and stuff.
Okay. Here's what I'm hearing. When I hear little kids mouth words that typically don't come out of a little kid's mouth unless they're watching some raunchy cartoons on TV,
right?
Like the B-I-T-C-H or the... Well, fat kids call each other fat. That's more common at the age of 8. But I wonder what they're hearing at home, because many times I worked with highly abused kids, and many times I heard things come out of those kids' mouth that sounded like I was in a prostitute's room.
Oh, yes. I've heard that. My husband and I, we try not to swear in front of them at all.
Yeah.
We really do make an effort.
I wasn't thinking you. I'm thinking that if Dad was in prison and he's in the drug world and Mom is bipolar, that's really tough.
So it could come from before.
So, well, yeah, one of the things, I want to understand him. I want to be able to be an ear for him. He's probably heard so much, you know, you're bad, you know, go out, you know, take that noise elsewhere. I know that's something. Take it outside, or can you move out? You're too noisy now. In those moments, he's going to feel like he's pushed away. So if he's crying comes from feeling a loss. So if he's feeling a loss of connection, you know, you're not taking a toy away, so it's not a loss of a toy. But if he's feeling a loss of emotional connection, maybe some rejection, I don't know, I'm guessing, then it may dovetail with the Dad being gone, you know, going to prison to see Dad, maybe being pushed away by Mom at times if she's in a manic state. You know, it's not easy, or in a depressed state.
She's on medication, so she doesn't really get into those manic states right now.
So,
and she also just started seeing somebody new, so he's mad at her about that.
Okay, so he's got a lot that's going on his mind, and you and I know that when we have a lot of issues going on our mind, it's so good to have a best friend or someone to talk to.
Okay.
It's really hard for an 8-year-old who doesn't even grasp the adult world fully and is immersed in some really sticky issues for himself.
Yes.
So I would recommend somebody that's real close to him, such as yourself, be a good listener for him. There's a wonderful book on my website, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen
How to Talk to Kids Who Listen.
How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk.
Okay.
Phenomenal book. It's an older book, but to me, it's the gold standard. And that's on my website, drkenner.com.
Okay.
He could even have some family counseling. Maybe you could go in with him, or Mom could go in with him. But if you have a good counselor who does some play therapy or helps draw him out, some of those issues can get out in the open too. And then he might learn some skills.
That's what Mom was thinking today, is that he needs to get some counseling. But one of us need to do it with him. Is that what I'm hearing?
It depends on the parent. If parents are very invasive and intrusive and get in the way of a child expressing themselves, then no, the parent might be the issue.
Okay.
If a parent can listen and work with a counselor, and both Mom and the son can learn the skills at the same time, or you and your nephew could learn the skills, then that works beautifully. Listen, we're right at the end of time. I thank you so much for calling, and I hope that book helps you.
And I thank you so much for your help.
Oh, thank you, Linda.
You have a wonderful
evening. Okay. Bye-bye. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Ellen Kenner and co-author Edwin Locke.
Good communication cannot save every troubled relationship, but effective communication is essential to all successful romantic relationships, and it can save many relationships that might otherwise fail. Your communication, style, and skills determine how intense conflicts become, how long they last, how complicated a single issue or a laundry list of complaints, how many people become involved, how many aspects of your life are affected, home, work, sex, family relations. how the conflicts are ultimately resolved, and what emotional scars, if any, such conflicts leave on the partners.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com and buy it at amazon.com.